Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapter Lord Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna, on text 27. I'll read, the transliteration first. Twam, you. Atmanam, the real self. Param, something else. Matva, thinking. Param, something else. Atmanam, yourself. Eva, indeed. Cha, also. Atma, the super self. Punaha, again. Bihi, outside. Mrigyaha, must be searched out. Aho, oh. Agya, ignorant. Janata, of persons. Agyata, the ignorance. Twam atmanam param matva. Param atmanam evacha. Atmapuna bahir mrigya. Ahogya janata gyata. Twam atmanam param matva. Param atmanam evacha. Atma punak bahir mrigya. Ahogya janata gyata.
Thank you.
Vaishnavis? Translation, purport. Just see the foolishness of those ignorant persons who consider you to be some separated manifestation of illusion and who consider the self, which is actually you, to be something else, the material body. Such fools conclude that the Supreme Soul is to be searched for somewhere outside your Supreme Personality. Lord Brahma is amazed at the gross ignorance of conditioned souls who consider Lord Krishna's supreme spiritual body to be material. Ignorant of the spiritual form of the Lord, such persons also consider their own material bodies to be the self, and therefore they conclude that spiritual reality is to be found somewhere beyond the supreme personality of Lord Krishna. Sometimes such fools consider Lord Krishna to be one of many individual souls who together constitute a single impersonal spiritual entity. Unfortunately, such speculators are not inclined to hear from the Lord himself or from the Lord's authorized representatives, such as Lord Brahma. Because they whimsically speculate on the nature of the Supreme, their ultimate result is confusion and ignorance, which they euphemistically describe as the mystery of life. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Stadbhutalaya Shrimati Bhakti Vinasa Shri Shishinimadhi Sharachadishita. So maybe we can unravel some of this mystery of life with Lord Brahma's help. Actually, Lord Brahma here is considering, is glorifying the Lord. Beautiful prayers that go on for quite a while. And I'm sure he's probably still reciting them. This is just some of them. Krishna has assured us in the Bhagavad Gita that if we can understand the Lord's appearance, how transcendental it is, how he isn't affected by anything material when he comes here, and why he comes here, then we're actually guaranteed to go back to him. And so it probably isn't such a simple thing as it sounds, just to understand, oh yeah, Krishna came and that's it. But actually, it's understood that there's a lot of faith involved in accepting that the Lord does appear. He comes to this material world, and he has purposes in mind, and he arranges different things. But he isn't affected by anything, even though he might appear to be of this material world. So Mama's faith was a little bit tested, and now he's trying to find out, well, what are Krishna's credentials really? Is he really the Supreme? And so now he's come to the conclusion, yes, Krishna is definitely that Supreme Person, the magician behind all this magic show that's going on. But many other people are still searching for the Supreme Absolute Truth. They, like it says here, they don't care to listen to Lord Brahma or anybody, any authority. They are out searching for the absolute truth. And then they come to hear about Krishna and they go, let's leave that for the millions and billions of people in India. It's just too complicated. They're already devoted. Just Krishna is for them over there. Actually, one of the most amazing things was when I told my mother, I called up and said, I found the absolute truth, you know, it's Hare Krishna. And she said, come home. But I said, you know, this Krishna, and she goes, she was so upset that I'd found a foreign god, you know, that, I of course I didn't have my guns loaded at that time, but I probably should have asked her, well, I think that I've heard that Lord Jesus was born in Nazareth, you know, not in America, but she would be much happier if I had found some god in America. I don't know. That, unfortunately, none of them were available. I never heard of any of them. And so Krishna will do for me. It still doesn't do for her, though, unfortunately. But it does do for many millions of people, and more so every day. But many other people are searching in their crystal balls. They're searching on the internet for God, the latest means of self-realization. They're looking into metaphysical things. So much is out there in the metaphysical world. And even they're looking into mystic yoga, renunciation. Maybe I'll find out God just by becoming very renounced. Or maybe if I just really concentrate on the third eye or a candle. I think that's old now. I don't think anyone focuses on candles anymore. That was going on when I started. But it sounded really boring. And then just recently I was talking to one new devotee here, and I was getting to know her, having a little Bhagavad Gita class. And she was telling me about this. She said she tried everything. And I couldn't quite get the whole story because it was in Spanish. But I did catch that the latest thing is she tried was that you have to drink the sap African tree that gives you some enlightenment. And there's a whole group of people that pronounce this. So maybe someone else has some newer things than that. But that one kind of, I think Lord Brahma would be quite amazed at how really foolish and ignorant some of these processes are. I know that in the last 40 years, I've been amazed at some of the things that have popped up. We always remember Jim Jones, that crazy fellow. And for those that weren't there at that time, he was an occultist that convinced everyone to kill themselves, drink Kool-Aid, and boom, gone, because this was the answer. God, I don't know how he convinced him, but anyway, that was one of many occultists that were very popular. And then, of course, the Mooney character, I think he just recently passed away. So many different things come up. I think Scientology has some electric shock that will give you some enlightenment. So people are searching outside of Krishna, and what are they finding? I don't know, but many of them are disappointed. But here is summed up by Lord Brahma: foolish, ignorant, and Srila Prabhupada would add a few things onto that also. Ass, for one, different things like that. And especially that they're wasting their time. It's such an important human form of life, and we you only have so much, you know, many search things to poke. So why not just end it up with Krishna? The Vedic literature is describing Bhagavan, the supreme absolute truth, the five different opulences: beauty, wealth, intelligence, fame. What's the other one? Renunciation. Yeah. So there's so many different things: strength, everything. So Krishna fits the bill perfectly. And really, our search can be ended at that. And he has invented himself many different times for particular purposes, but he's always remained totally transcendental. And he's attracted all kinds of living entities in different advents, even as animals, he's attracted them. So just see the potency of Krishna, that he can come here in the material world in all hidden forms and shapes and sizes and attract so many, many people to come to him. And this is much more amazing. And Krishna says that this is just a little spark of my splendor. There's so much more that he can tell us about himself. And for one who becomes purified through the process of bhakti, those different attributes of the Supreme are actually manifested in so many ways: through the hearing process, through the seeing process, through the touching process, and in so many different ways. And then we have some appreciation for all these different incarnations. Actually, during the Christmas, the day before Christmas, I went to my mother, and my sister was going to go to church on Christmas Eve, so I said, I'll go with you. You know, why not? It's something holy to do, and you don't have to talk to them. You don't have to think of something else to say. So I went to to a Methodist church and how I was raised. And it was exactly the same, just the same, you know, the same thing was going on. And but the place was packed with people. And very respectful, very nice people. And then, you know, the choir, you know, live orchestra, everything. It's really exciting on Christmas. And he gave a lecture, a very short lecture, but it was really sweet because he actually appreciated the appearance of the Lord's Son, but they think it's the Lord, whatever they think. But he was saying that just see how intelligent the Lord is, that he'll come as a baby in a manger. And he says that we're all attracted to little babies and everything. They're so cute and everything. And so there, you can see that so many people are here because people are attracted to a baby. And I was thinking, boy, that must be his rasa or something, as the mother or, you know, the parent. And I was thinking, but there's so much more he could, that I would love to talk to him afterwards, say, boy, not just a baby in a manger, but wait, when he grows up and when he does this and when he does that. And all of this is revealed to us in this Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why daily it's so exciting to get to hear, especially now in the 10th canto. Nothing's, you know, I mean, there's a lot left out because, you know, it's just this earth planet. But so many planets, so many universes, the Bhagavatam is just pouring out more information for us about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so it's exciting to glorify Krishna because there's so much to be said about him. So much. Not that he was just in a little manger and then he grew up and he walked on water. But he actually, there's so much to be said. There's one nice song that I love to sing, and when we sing it in our bhajan group, everyone just relishes hearing about it because it's so descriptive of the Supreme Lord. And I'm going to read a couple of the favorite verses. It's written by anonymous, but someone who actually had a lot of realization, must have seen Krishna face to face. Here's a couple of the lines, so we can kind of meditate on how of this glorification. You can look at Sham and maybe you can see if this is that person. He whose complexion conquers that of a fresh new rain cloud, who is the best king of paramours, the ocean of ecstatic mellows, whose crown is adorned with a lovely peacock feather and is auspiciously tilted to one side. Just worship Krishna, the dark jewel, the son of the king of Braja. He whose broadly bending eyebrows appear like arched rainbows, whose pure moon-like face belittles millions of ordinary moons, who is endowed with sweet, gentle smiles and pleasant speech, just worship Krishna, the dark jewel, the son of the king of Braja. He whose forehead is surrounded by a fringe of wavy locks, whose earlobes are embellished with swaying shark-shaped earrings, who is adorned with yellow silk, embracing his charming hips. Just worship Krishna, the dark jewel, the son of the king of Braja. And it goes on and on and on, describing our Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom we're hoping to become so attached to that we'll never have to look anywhere else. I mean, for this many years, I haven't had to look anywhere else. I haven't even desired to look anywhere else. I'm just trying to look into the Bhagavatam and understand this person more and more, even though he's from a foreign place and he wears a dhoti and not pants and jeans and a t-shirt. But anyway, pretty exciting, our Shyamasundar. But many avoid Krishna because he's very complex. People especially start studying the Hindu religion and they go, oh my gosh, this Krishna, he's such a dubious fellow. And he's got such family interactions, this family and that family. I can't understand who is who and what all these different gods are. And he's blue. Why blue? You know. So and he fights demons. He's a complicated figure. He has a lot going on in the Bhagavatam, the Mahabharat, confusing to the maximum. Not until I saw the film did I figure out who was who in the Bhagavatam. Couldn't understand. But the devotee has great faith because this Bhagavatam unveils all the mystery. And we find out who that person is in its entirety. And then we have met our God. We've met him, and our search has ended. And Lord Brahma also here has he's found that Krishna has his credentials and that his search has ended. Yes, the supreme little cowherd boy is the supreme personality of Godhead without doubt. Once Srila Prabhupada asked, how come you are not doubtful that Krishna is God? How come you're convinced that Krishna is God? And so many disciples said, well, because in the scripture it says this, and he has all the qualities of this, and he in this and that and that. And Papa, finally someone said, because you can feel it. And it's true, because we're here. Why? Because we felt something. We felt Krishna within ourselves. And that's what this whole bhakti is about. It's a way to connect and actually begin to feel Krishna. Krishna's existence, Krishna's association, Krishna's reciprocation with us. Not only that, but by hearing the scripture all about Krishna, our intelligence is totally satisfied. We don't have to look elsewhere. We don't have to pick up another book that has just come out about, you know, some other incarnation or something like that, some other process. We are totally satisfied. Reading the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita over and over and over again, totally satisfied. And more anxious to become more purified through the process of bhakti so we can really feel it all the time, to really realize it at every minute. But many people have lost faith in finding that perfect person, in finding God. And it's a real shame because they can't find that perfect relationship with God because they're not really interacting. The interaction with persons has been a letdown. I don't know if any of you have had any letdowns with personal relationships, but I have. Most people have. They haven't been fulfilling, or the partner has gone away and left you brokenhearted, or maybe they took advantage of you, or they cheated you, or they didn't meet the expectations that you thought they were going to be. And so some people just get fried with personalities, with dealing with other personalities. My sister's a good example. I had a long conversation with her for hours on the way home from North Carolina, and she's a Buddhist. She actually had a very nice book that she got out of some office about the 108 malas, different slokas all about, from different spiritualists. She's a real seeker. But now she's found it in Buddhas. Why? As I talked to her, I realized. Because she works a job with a lot of people. She's a professor. She's a head of a department. And she has so many problems with the people she works with that she just wants to get away from them all, just meditate, clear the mind, clear the thing. And she's totally into nature. And she's one of those goody-goody people, you know, wants to do good for everybody. Total mode of goodness. She's a social worker. And so you can see that is a position of many, many people these days, is that they just too much difficulty with relationships. So they take to some other meditation and they leave God out of the equation. Just too confusing to get into another personality, another relationship. Let me just blank out everything. So this is a situation that is very common. If many of the people I speak to, they're Buddhists. Why? For this reason. Because it's just a means of escaping, of meditation, getting some peace of mind, getting away from everybody and all the problems that come about through different personalities. But for us, we've decided to take this complex, wonderful, amazing personality of Krishna, taking his whole family and all of his activities and embracing him in whatever way we can. And so that means it's a serious commitment that we've made, very, very serious commitment, that we are going to be committed forever, eternally, with this person. For this person, we're going to have a relationship eternally. Now, I know that if Montrini was here or somebody like that, they're like marriage counselors. And in marriage counseling, the system is that you find out compatibility. You take all these tests and little things they do, little games and things like that these days to find out if you're compatible. And, of course, in astrology also, find out if you're compatible with somebody else because they're making a commitment, maybe 60, 70 years, which is a long haul for those who have made it 30 years or 40 years or 10 years or whatever. It's a big commitment. So, but we're, and in that commitment, if you actually get married, if you actually do commit, most people don't even bother to commit to anything. They just are on the trial system for their whatever, so they can get out the back door without any complications or without any divorce payments. But if you have made that commitment, I think at the marriage ceremony they say forever and ever or something like death do you part or something like that. Yeah. So with Krishna, death, that doesn't calculate. It's after death. It's forever and ever and ever that we're committed now to developing this relationship with Krishna. And we've chosen him. So that means that we have to really, 24 hours a day, get to know that person. To make sure that this is who we want. This is the God. This is the personality that we want. And so that's what this bhakti is all about. We have to really delve into serving him in whatever way we can. Hearing and chanting the whole nine yards, the whole nine processes. We really need to absorb ourselves to make sure that we're not going to be disappointed. That this is the person right here in this room that we want to associate with forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So Lord Brahma, he's decided, and we should also decide. And then we should help others to make that decision, to get rid of all the hoaxes that are here, that someone's going to come and take all the pure people away, and it happened, 10 months ago, and it didn't really happen, and this hoax that was going to happen, this hoax, and that imitation grew, and whatever. We have to be out there to actually give them the real Supreme Personality of Godhead in a wonderful way, and that is our job. That was Prabhupada's job. He did a good job, and he's still doing it through his books and his devotees and his temples and Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. Because otherwise people have lost a lot of confidence in that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many have lost confidence in their other yoga practices. I was in Newbury at that little dinky, funky little thing that we went to. But a person came by and he was saying, "Oh, I do transcendental meditation." He was like, not too excited about it. And he said, "Yeah, that's really expensive." I said, "Yeah, when I, that was one of my things I was thinking about too, 40 years ago, and it was $30. I couldn't afford it." He goes, "$30? You wouldn't believe what it costs now." He goes, "Every meeting you go to, they charge you." He goes, "I just can't afford it." And he was really, really disappointed. I said, here's a book for free. We're going to give you a free feast. We're going to free this. Come, I haven't seen him yet, though. But anyway, some people wanted to be cheated, and so that's the way it goes. But people are not receiving the real absolute personality of Godhead, and it is our job to do that. Otherwise, they'll settle for less, and then they might be disappointed at the last bit of their life. Even Mother Teresa, I read an article, she was not totally convinced that Jesus was her Lord. Although she would kept doing her goodness and everything like that, but she had many years where she was lost faith completely. So it is our job to begin them in the bhakti process. Stuff something in their mouth, some prasadam in their mouth. That's the first thing. Wave it. Come. I'm at the table at the campus. Here's a cookie. Oh, snickerdoodles. I love snickerdoodles. Come back for more. And they come back the next week. Hey, you got any of those? So that's one way. And then you have to give them, invitation to the temple and introduce them to Krishna in whatever way you can. But most importantly, we give them the holy name, whether they like it or not. On the street corner, at the campuses, at the football games, at the tractor pools, at the whatever we can find on the list of events in our area, we need to give them Krishna. So they, especially if they can take up this chanting of the Maha Mantra, the incarnation of this age, Krishna has appeared in his name. If we can just get him to start chanting this Maha Mantra, then they will feel Krishna. They will know for sure because they're feeling Krishna. For most of us, I think it's the holy name that we actually have our realizations, chanting our japa or kirtan, whichever it is. That's when we experience it because it's a direct association because Krishna is there and we must be convinced of that. And then we can really give benefit to all of the world. And there's one nice little verse in a song about the holy name, also anonymous, but very potent. That person is a true preceptor or a true father, a true mother, and a true friend also, only if they teach one way, one to always remember the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So that is our duty as a mother, father, everyone, to let everyone know that the holy name is everything, everything. And one other verse from the same song. The entire universe from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing that is reality, reality, again I say reality, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. So we have to be convinced and have that realization. So beg, borrow, or steal to get the nectar of the holy name, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And then we can express to others the importance of actually considering God, that Krishna is God, and that he will fill all the credentials of being your best friend and the supplier of the most wonderful feeling of satisfaction in this lifetime and the lifetimes for many, 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 many births and ultimately for eternity. So maybe someone else has something they'd like to address. Sri Devi?
If you talk to these people who are like doing yoga or Buddhists, you know, you try to mention God and they just look at you like, you know, they're offended, you know, like I'm just pretty much focusing on myself and having really good health and being like at peace. And it's like God is not even a part of it. It's so weird. And, you know, it's like you try to mention it and they're just like so...
Well, to be honest, when I was with my sister all those hours, I really couldn't really present Krishna. She was so into, you know, I could see she was making advancement. So I didn't like say, well, just take this big step. And you know, but you know, people are going to progress on their own path. But it's such a shame because many of them do have very good hearts, you know, and they are... They are wanting it. You can tell they want the absolute truth, but they're just afraid. They're afraid of entering that relationship. Of course, many are envious, but those who are really searching, I guess Krishna will help them to take the next step. And we have to do our, you know, whatever we can, you know, give them prasadam and try to introduce them. I remember we met a Buddhist at the Rainbow Gathering. We brought them here to the temple. And as soon as he saw these pictures, he said, this is it. And now he's a devotee. So, yeah, we can try to plant little things into their minds that there is a God. But most of them, I don't know why. They just, I guess because they're scared of that relationship.
It's weird.
Yeah, it is. It's very weird. You can see what the energy of this material world, what it has done. that has made it so impersonal, so difficult to approach God. Maybe someone else has something they could say about that. Yes.
Recently, me and my wife, we were in St. Louis selling calendars at the mall there. So they have this music playing all day long, the popular music and stuff like that. So it's like, it really makes you nauseated, listen to it all day long. So anyway, so we, in my store, I had a store. So I played Prabhupada chanting and Satchinanda Maharaj chanting all day long, practically. And I would observe.
So they could hear it?
Yeah. I would play it loud, too. You know, and so I would observe people come in and see their reactions to it. Mm-hmm. And it was two incidents that stood out. There was one gentleman, he came in, and he just walked around. I was looking at his facial expressions. And he was just relishing the name. He was just so happy. You know, you can see it on his face and everything. And then this other lady, she came in, this Oriental lady, and she came to me and she said, "That is such beautiful music. I've never heard anything like that." She said, "What is it?" And so I explained a little bit to her, and I gave her a flyer and things like that, you know.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's brave of you. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, so we have to embed it in them somehow or other, sneak it in, and it'll have effect eventually. So many stories of devotees that were inimical and everything, but then they just kept hearing the holy name and changed them. Yes, Manmati?
She's Irish Catholic, and I remember for years, when she was married, you know, she wouldn't come, and she wouldn't even come into the temple room because it was deities or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Holy name, or just devotee family, or being around, and we never preached them for all these years, and the effect of the holy name, and just being in that atmosphere now and then, how it makes a difference.
So there's hope for everybody.
Yeah, there is hope.
Very nice. So we have to do our part and spread Krishna consciousness as best we can. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Where's Prabhupada?